Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus continues his conversation. He's been having this for a couple weeks in our pericope, in our readings each week here at Peace, and we're continuing it here in Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 42. Dear friends, it was about a year ago that my family was planning for a whitewater rafting trip in Montana. I may have told you about that, maybe a few details. We planned to go down the Gallatin River, which is, I believe, just south of Bozeman, Montana. And I got to tell you that many members of my family were not on board to go on that journey to begin with. I had to convince them. How did I convince them? Well, let me tell you what didn't work. What didn't work was showing them the pictures of the people online who were going down the river. Their faces were horrified. It was like they were on a roller coaster ride, and their hands were flailing all over the place as they were on the water raft. Bad idea. What also didn't help was to share with members of the family the description of what the river would be like. The description online talked about how the waters were turbulent and gave the rating for the rapids. Not helpful. It also gave a description of the path and the turbulent waters that we'd face. And then finally, it also gave this little phrase that said, it's often the case that people fall out of the raft while going down the river. Then finally it ended, after maybe three or four paragraphs, it ended by stating this: rafters raft at their own risk. Not helpful to share that. Now, what did convince everyone in the family to go on that rafting trip was this little detail. The company shared that there would be an experienced guide in each raft. That made the difference. An experienced guide. My friends, today we are facing whitewater rapids in life. As you enter into the sanctuary, nobody's story here today and also online, no one's story is the same. The fears and the anxiety is different in each person for different reasons. The anger is there. But it's my prayer that what will calm us and settle us on this whitewater rapid ride is a clear teaching from Matthew chapter 10. We have a guide in the boat. We have someone that can guide us and still us and calm us as we go on those turbulent waters. Well, from a year ago, I watched the guide who guided us down the Gallatin River, and I came up with three things that as I've thought about that experience and thought about our text, there were three things that made that guide very helpful and good that I want to share with you. It correlates with some thoughts here in Matthew chapter 10. The first is this: a good guide is someone who is honest and paints an accurate picture of the journey ahead. In other words, they don't fool you into thinking that everything's going to be sweet and rosy and perfect. That guide that we had didn't say, for example, nobody's going to get wet and no one's going to fall out of the raft and you can just kick up your heels and relax. He didn't say that. He actually said this: pay attention to my instruction and have your paddle in hand the entire journey. This is going to be rough. A good guide does that. My friends, Jesus does that in our gospel text. He doesn't sugarcoat things and say that the life of a Christian is going to be easy and relaxing and simple. Did you hear the words? Verse 34, Jesus says that he has come not to bring peace. Then you jump down to the next verse. Verse 35, Jesus says that he's come to bring division. That's a strong word in the Greek that really means a very serious separation. And Jesus, throughout his ministry, talks about the whitewater rapids of following him and being one of his disciples. Take, for example, Matthew chapter 9. Jesus meets a tax collector. That man has to change careers. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 19 in one of his parables that following him might mean economic difficulties. In our text here, he says, following him, going on the journey of life with him, may mean difficulties within our own families, stress, disagreements. In other sections in Jesus' teachings, he even says there may be physical limitations, loneliness, frustrations. But again, a bad guide is someone who says it'll be sweet and easy, and then it's actually not sweet and easy. A good guide is one who paints an accurate picture of what is coming ahead. Jesus does that. And by the way, there's life application for us here. The life of a Christian is not one of simplicity and easiness and relaxation. Expect challenge, expect turbulent waters. But a guide does a second thing. A good guide shows his credentials and tells you of their credentials. You know, when we started off on the river, the guide that was in our raft behind us, I turned back and I saw the badge that he was wearing. That gave me a lot of comfort. There was a picture and there was a date. I remember seeing that. And then there was a bunch of small writing underneath. It looked official. That was really helpful because I assumed that he had put in enough hours to be a certified raft instructor. I also assumed that he had the skill and ability to do this. I also, in my mind, remembered thinking that he must have had some wilderness training unless we got lost, in case we got lost somewhere on the Gallatin River. That gave some comfort. He had the credentials to lead and to guide. Jesus shares his badge in Matthew chapter 10 with us and his disciples. Think about this in verse 40. Jesus says this, "Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." That little phrase, "the one who sent me," is absolutely critical to understanding what Jesus is saying. That little word in the Greek is apostello, which means sent one, which is where we get the word apostle from. It has an official standing. It's as if Jesus is showing his certification. He is sharing that he is the ambassador to the Father, that by meeting Jesus, you are as good as meeting the Father himself. Jesus is saying here that he and he alone is the guide to the Father. That's significant. You don't want to follow a guide that is not certified. Jesus is, by his own words. And then finally, a good guide, the third point that I want to share today, is a good guide is someone who has actually done it before. They've gone down the river before. You don't want to follow someone who's not been down the river and just listen to their advice and wisdom. As we went down on the river, the guide that we had, I knew that he had been down the river before because he had names for the boulders in the river. Oh, that's Henry coming about 500 yards on our left. Oh, and then about 400 feet off to your right, there's a tree there that a bald eagle sits in. I knew that he had been on that journey before. In fact, he came up with some strategies that just were counterintuitive to anything that I would imagine going down a river. He said, actually, at one point, we're going to go up against a rock and hit it so that we can turn and go down the river. Now, my thought at that moment was, why would we do that? Why would we crash into a rock? Why don't we just go down with the flow of the water? That wouldn't have worked. He had been down the river before. He had experience. Jesus says in our text here, a little phrase here that's not just advice. He says this, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my name's sake will find it. Now, that's actually counterintuitive to how we think. We think that the way to live life is to protect ourselves and to live for ourselves. Why would I ever want to lose my life for the sake of anybody else? That's not the path that we would naturally take. But my friends, Jesus guides us this way because this is the way he lived his life. he did lose his life. He did take up his cross and die for our sins. He did it before he ever asked us to do it. He has the experience, and by doing what he did, he opened up eternal life for us. And so we follow his path. He is the guide that we have for life. But is it true that we always listen to our guide, Jesus? You know, as we were going down the river, I realized that I thought, as the instructor gave some direction, I thought that we would always listen to his voice. We practiced maybe for the first 500 feet or so. He'd say things like, paddle 2 times to the right and paddle once to your left. And we heard his voice. We got used to his timbre, his tone, and his pace. And we knew his voice, and we were going to follow him the entire way. But then the whitewater rapids came. We started hearing other voices, like the raft right next to us. Someone cried out, Elizabeth is overboard. Watch her. She might hit a rock. And then the raft that was right in front of us, we heard another instructor, guide, say this, the exact opposite instructions. They said, paddle 2 times to the left and once to the right. And then we heard with the raft about 3 in front of us, the people yelling and screaming as they went down the rapids and were having fun. All of a sudden, it became very difficult to hear the guide and his voice and his instruction. My friends, we say as Christians that we will listen to Jesus' voice. We say that he's the guide that will lead us to the Father. We say that we would never not listen to Jesus' voice. But then doesn't a similar thing happen in our own lives? The white water rapids of life come. A pandemic. Difficulty in our country. Disagreement in our country, economic hardship, isolation, and frustration. And all of a sudden, we start hearing other voices. And then we say that we hear Jesus' voice, but then there are all those other voices that we hear in the media. One voice says, the worst is behind us. Another voice says, the worst is coming in about 2 months. Then there's the neighbor across the street who says, well, we should have done it this way 2 months ago, and we wouldn't be where we would be today. And as we juggle all those voices, it can happen that Jesus' voice gets lost in the mix, and his direction for our life, for a healthy life. But here's the greatest news. Even though we get confused, and we get mixed up with the instructions of Jesus, he still is in the boat. And he still goes to work for us. You know, it's kind of like the moment that we had as we were going down the rapids. We all missed the instruction of the guide that was behind us. But you see, he was able to adjust. And with his own strength and power, he paddled as hard as he could. And he got us, actually, all by his own strength, right back on the course that we should have been on from the beginning. We messed up, all the other people in the boat, but that the guide not only gave instruction, but with his power and strength guided us in the direction that we should go. And this is the way Jesus works for us. He continues to guide us. We're confused, we're frustrated. But with his strength and the forgiveness that he offers, he will always get us back on track. Now, as I conclude my sermon, I actually have a couple of questions that I want to put up that Joyce is going to share here. For those that are online, it's something to think about. For those that are here, also something to think about. Here are our questions to think about heading into just this week. What voice or voices are guiding your life today? Is it the media? Is it Jesus? And then secondly, how can you better listen to Jesus guiding this week? Is it 10 more minutes in the Bible? 15 more minutes in prayer? Think about those questions and think about ways to put them into action. Amen.